The reading for Palm Sunday is the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter, verses 12 to 19. And this is the story of Jesus entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written by the prophet Zechariah, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, the cheering crowd, the waving palm branches, and the shouts of Hosanna would lead us to believe that everyone in Jerusalem was overjoyed to see Jesus that first Palm Sunday. They weren't. Not all of them. There were those who hated Jesus. Here's the story. As Jesus healed people and performed miracles, there was a groundswell of belief among the common people that Jesus was the Messiah. All Jews knew that the promised Messiah would be a descendant of King David, and they expected the Messiah would also be king. So as consensus gathered among the common people that Jesus was the Messiah, consensus also gathered that he should be crowned king. In fact, in John 6, after Jesus had fed thousands with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, the crowd was so enthralled with Jesus and so convinced he was the Messiah, they wanted to take him to Jerusalem by force, if necessary, and crown him king. Jesus had to actually slip away from the crowd that day. Almost 2 years later, just days before Palm Sunday, the mother of the apostles, James and John, asked Jesus if her 2 sons could have the places of greatest honor when Jesus was crowned king. Well, what was she talking about? She assumed what everyone else was assuming, that Jesus, who they were convinced was the Messiah, would enter Jerusalem very soon and be crowned king. But the event that really set the stage for Palm Sunday was this. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus lived in Bethany, a little town in the shadow of Jerusalem. He'd been dead 4 days by the time Jesus arrived in Bethany. So for 4 days, Lazarus had been wrapped in burial cloths and laid in a tomb. Funerals in that culture began immediately after death and lasted for many days. So there was still a large crowd of friends and relatives, many of them from the neighboring city of Jerusalem, at the burial site when Jesus arrived. Again, 4 days after Lazarus had died. But rather than joining in the weeping and wailing, Jesus stood in front of the tomb and shouted, "Lazarus, come out." Everybody was stunned when Lazarus walked out of the tomb. It was shocking. It was sensational. And there were a lot of people who witnessed it. Friends tore off Lazarus's burial cloths and wept for joy. News of this spread word of mouth throughout Jerusalem immediately. When the chief priests and the Pharisees, who were members of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of Jerusalem, who hated Jesus, when they heard about Jesus raising Lazarus, they immediately solidified plans to kill Jesus. They also made plans to kill Lazarus. Read the beginning of John 12. Here's the beef that members of the Sanhedrin had with Jesus. He forgave sinners. That's the gospel. Your sins are forgiven. Pharisees saw themselves as righteous, not sinners. They hated the gospel. A few weeks after Jesus raised Lazarus, word got around that Jesus was headed for Jerusalem. Crowds of people gathered that day to get a look at the man who raised Lazarus from the dead. For that matter, they wanted to see Lazarus too, who was likely in the entourage that accompanied Jesus. People gathered outside the city gate waving palm branches, the traditional greeting reserved for returning heroes. And as Jesus approached, they laid their branches on the ground in front of him, shouting, "Hosanna," or more precisely in Hebrew, "Hoshi'ana," which means "save us now." The root word is Yasha, the same root word for Yeshua, the Jewish pronunciation of Jesus. So when the crowd shouted "Hosanna," they were calling out, "Jesus, save us now. Save us from death like you saved Lazarus." You know, despite the frenzied nature of the crowd, there was something so glaring and so obviously out of place, it had to have been noticed. It was even mentioned by the prophet Zechariah 500 years earlier. Jesus, the guy who people expected to be crowned king, the guy who raised a man from the dead, he wasn't riding a beautiful white horse accompanied by a conquering army. He was riding a donkey. It was absolutely not what you'd expect. In fact, it was offensive to the Pharisees, who were proud of their country. "This is the guy who people say is our king? This is the best we can do?" You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 to 29, it says, "God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise." In God's foolishness, Jesus rode a donkey, accompanied by lowly fishermen and hated tax collectors and former prostitutes and even those who'd been demon-possessed and healed by Jesus. What kind of a king would ride a donkey? What kind of a king would enter a city accompanied by a motley collection of ne'er-do-wells and people with serious issues? Nobody but God would choose such a foolish thing. You know, just this week earlier, an old friend called me. He'd just received a devastating diagnosis from his doctor, out of the blue. It wasn't what he expected. It's not what he wanted. The prospect of pain and suffering and death long before he ever anticipated his own death. Is he facing one of those foolish and offensive things of God? I don't know. But if he'd been there as Jesus entered Jerusalem, I bet he'd have been crying out, "Hosanna, save me now. Save me from death like you saved Lazarus." And I bet he wouldn't have been offended by the people accompanying Jesus or his donkey. Maybe we human beings need to have our options narrowed to see things clearly. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. Foolish things you or I would never choose. Offensive things, like serious illness, or depression, or unemployment, or tragedy, or loss or grief. Maybe God reveals himself to us who wrestle with sin and shame and never seem to win. Maybe he reveals himself to us who have nowhere to turn but to him. Maybe in this era of coronavirus, maybe we all fall into that category. Nowhere else to turn but to Christ. 5 days after Jesus entered Jerusalem to the shouts and cheers of the people, the only shouts Jesus heard were, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Give us Barabbas!" His closest friend, who walked alongside him into Jerusalem as the people cheered, denied that he even knew him. Without even a donkey, he carried his own cross until he collapsed. And to mock his status as a king, a crown of thorns was forced onto his head as he hung dying. In God's foolishness, Jesus died to atone for your sin. And now his perfect righteousness is credited to you. He has finished the work of redeeming you, finished it completely. And then he rose from the dead, which means you can relax. Despite your record of failure, despite your ongoing struggles and continued lapses, despite the harrowing depth of your sin, you can be at peace because Jesus bled for you, and his blood covers you yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Your life is in God's hands, and he loves you. Christ died for you. You are forgiven. God will never leave you or forsake you in this life, and he prepares a place for you in heaven someday. So rejoice. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this Palm Sunday, as we remember Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, as the crowd cheered, and yet Jesus himself knew what was ahead for him in just a few days. Not a cheering crowd, but shouts of "Crucify him, crucify him," and a painful, bloody, prolonged death on a cross. Lord, help us to look and see what God has done for us, given his own blood of Jesus on our behalf. Cause it to fill us with gratitude and also fill us with humility. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.